This morning, we offer a story entitled Three Questions. The version that you will hear is adapted from an original short story written by Leo Tolstoy. That story was published in 1903. The adaptation that you will hear this morning was written and illustrated by John J. Muth. And you'll see the illustrations as well as hear the story. As you listen to part one of this story, consider how you might answer the three questions of the title. The story. There once was a boy named Nikolai, who sometimes felt uncertain about the right way to act. "I want to be a good person," he told his friends, "but I don't always know the best way to do that." Nikolai's friends understood, and they wanted to help him. "If only I could find the answers to three questions," Nikolai continued, "then I would always know. When is the best time to do things? Who is the most important one? What is the right thing to do?" Nikolai's friends considered his first question. Then Sonya, the heron, spoke. "To know the best time to do things, one must plan in advance," she said. Gogol, the monkey, who had been rooting through some leaves to find something good to eat, said, "You will know when to do things if you watch and pay close attention." Then Pushkin, the dog, who was just dozing off, rolled over and said, "You can't pay attention to everything yourself. You need a pack to keep watch and help you decide when to do things. For example, Gogol, a coconut is about to fall on your head." Nikolai thought for a moment. Then he asked his second question. "Who is the most important one?" "Those who are closest to heaven," said Sonya, circling up into the sky. "Those who know how to heal the sick," said Gogol, stroking his bruised noggin. "Those who make the rules," growled Pushkin. Nikolai thought some more, and then he asked his third question. "What is the right thing to do?" "Flying," said Sonya. "Having fun all the time," laughed Gogol. "Fighting," barked Pushkin right away. Let's pause at this point in the story to reflect for a moment on the answers offered so far. Did you agree with any of those answers you heard? Did any others occur to you? What came to your mind as you listened to the ideas offered by Nikolai's friends? As you ponder these questions, feel free to use the paper and pencil that we provided earlier to record your thoughts in case you want to share them with us later. If you would prefer, use the next few minutes while Jed plays a piece written by Leo Tolstoy. Use the next few minutes for quiet reflection. the first time I encountered this story and ran across the three questions, my initial reaction was, well, it depends. It depends on where you are, what you're doing, what's happening with your situation at the time. So how can you have a definitive answer to these questions? I couldn't come up with one, but I'd be curious to know if maybe you've come up with some answers. Before I conclude the story, I offer any of you the opportunity to share any thoughts and feelings you had about the three questions before we move on. We could hear three or four right now if anybody would like to share with us. Or if you don't want to share now, we can always gather in the fellowship room at around 11:30 and talk further about the story. Also, we've put in the coffee hour room a poster board where you could put written responses for others to read if you'd like. Would anybody like to share anything at this time?
Well, the first question I thought was when you have the urge to do them, to do these things. Mm-hmm. The second I have is your, who is the most important one? Your inner spirit will tell you what is the right thing to do. Whatever you feel, when you will work the best.
Those are excellent answers. Thank you. Would anyone else like to share? Yes.
I didn't think there was any one who that's the most important one. I think that perhaps the relationship between individuals is what's the most important. What's the right thing to do, whatever is going to enhance those relationships at that time, and when is the best time to do things? That one I don't have an answer for that wouldn't get me in trouble right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Well, for the first one, I couldn't come up with any answers. I did receive Covey's answer from the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He had to make a quadrant box, four quadrants. Number one priority is the things that are both urgent and important. The child is about to fall off a cliff. That's important and urgent. That would be my first priority to save them. Number two are the things that are not urgent but important and often get put to the back of the list because they're not urgent but they're very important, like spending time with the family. Between working hours, and the third box is the things that are neither, that are urgent but not important. You know, those nagging phone calls are the things you don't really need to do, but they're nagging at you, and then last of all is the things that are neither urgent nor important. I think the most important one is the one for whom you would keep your own life to save, and there may be more than one of those, and I don't have an answer for the last one, so I'll let someone else answer that.
Excellent. One more?
As someone who always gets things done at the last minute, I have absolutely no answer for the first one. I don't know. And with respect to Leo's whole story, I don't think there is the most important one. I think everybody's equally important. So I would disagree with the question. I was a rhetoric major. So. I think the right thing to do is whatever creates the most love in the world.
Those were all excellent answers to the questions. And we'll have time to reflect some more after the conclusion of the story. But right now, let's go back to the story and find out how Leo Tolstoy might answer the three questions. Eli thought for a long while. He loved his friends. He knew they were all trying their best to help him answer his questions. But their answers didn't seem quite right. Then an idea came to him. "I know," he thought. "I will ask Leo the turtle. He has lived a very long time. Surely, he will know the answers that I am looking for." Nikolai hiked high up into the mountains where the old turtle lived all alone. When Nikolai arrived, he found Leo digging up a garden. The turtle was old, and digging was hard for him. "I have three questions that I came to ask your help for," Nikolai said. "When is the best time to do things? Who is the most important one? And what is the right thing to do?" Leo listened carefully, but he only smiled. Then he went on with his digging. "You must be tired," Nikolai said at last. "Let me help you." The turtle gave him his shovel and thanked him. And because it was easier for a young boy to dig than it was for an old turtle, Nikolai kept on digging until all the rows were finished. But just as he finished, the wind blew wildly, and rain burst from the darkened clouds overhead. As they moved toward the cottage for shelter, Nikolai suddenly heard a cry for help. Running down the path, he found a panda whose leg had been injured by a fallen tree. Carefully, Nikolai carried her into Leo's house and made a splint for her leg with a stick of bamboo. The storm raged on, banging at the doors and the windows. Finally, the panda woke up. "Where am I?" she said. "And where is my child?" Nikolai ran out of the cottage and down the path. The roar of the storm was deafening. Pushing against the howling wind and the drenching rain, he ran into the forest. There, he found the panda's child, cold and shivering on the ground. The little panda was wet and scared, but alive. Nikolai carried her inside and made her warm and dry. And then he laid her in her mother's arms. Leo smiled when he saw what the boy had done. The next morning, the sun was warm, birds sang, and all was well with the world. The panda's leg was healing nicely, and she thanked Nikolai for saving her and her baby from the storm. At that moment, Sonia, Gogol, and Pushkin arrived to make sure that everybody was okay. Nikolai felt great peace within himself. He had wonderful friends, and he had saved the panda and her child. But he also felt a little bit disappointed. He still had not found the answers to his three questions. So he asked Leo one more time. The old turtle looked at the boy. "But your questions have been answered," he said. "They have?" said the boy. "Yesterday, if you had not stayed to help me dig my garden, you wouldn't have heard the panda's cries for help in the storm. Therefore, the most important time was the time you spent digging the garden. The most important one at that moment was me. And the most important thing to do was to help me with my garden. Later, when you found the injured panda, the most important time was the time you spent mending her leg and saving her child. The most important ones were the panda and her baby. And the most important thing to do was to take care of them and make them safe. Remember then that there is only one important time, and that time is now. The most important one is always the one you are with. And the most important thing to do is to do good for the one who is standing at your side. For these, my dear boy, are the answers to what is most important in this world. That is why we are here. And that's the end of our story. The turtle's answers to the three questions resonate with many UU ideals and principles. You can no doubt think of instances in your life when these answers had great meaning for you. Some of our worship associates are going to share their reflections with you in just a moment. And as I mentioned earlier, later on, we're going to gather in the fellowship room at 11:30 if anybody would like to talk further about this subject. And we can also encourage you to post your written comments on the poster board if you'd like. So right now, let's hear from Harry, Laurie, and Anya.
In the interest of full disclosure, I must say that the three of us are speaking because we were afraid that you might not. Apparently, that was a misunderstanding on my part. Reading through this story for the first time set me to thinking about my own early conflicts between fundamentalist absolutism of my religious upbringing and a new-to-me concept of situational ethics, John. The classic scenario posed by situational ethicists went like this. You're home late one night when there's a frantic pounding on your door. You open the door to find a woman with a baby asking to be hidden from some unseen pursuer. You let her in, of course, and take her to the back room and close the door. 5 minutes later, there's another knock at your door. When you open the door, there's a very agitated man with a knife standing there, and he demands to know if his wife and child are hiding in your house. Do you lie and say that they are not there? Or do you say, I cannot tell a lie, they're in the back room? The situational ethicists would smile as the absolutists imploded. But situational ethics brought no real comfort because there were no rules about what was the right thing to do. Now the answer was not found in some book. You had to work hard at it, much as the young man in our story has to search hard for the answers. And I didn't have a turtle for a mentor. But let's look at what the turtle, speaking the mind of Tolstoy, has to say. He says, remember then that there is only one important time, and the time is now. The most important one is always the one you are with. And the most important thing to do, the most important thing to do good for, I'm sorry, the most important thing is to do good for the one who is standing at your side. The most important one is always the one you are with. Kind of reminds me of the old 1970s Stephen Stills song that if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Love the one you're with. Love the one you're with. Well, if you're my age, you remember the song and the overt promise of the premise of promiscuity. I'm sorry, I haven't. Though I was never comfortable with that concept, my fundamentalist upbringing being very strong, I could crank up the car radio and sing along to the harmonies of Crosby and Nash. So what of the turtle? Well, I think he's got it mostly right. We need to focus more on the here and now, be more in the moment in order to be more aware of those we are traveling through life with and to share with their joys and concerns. But it seems to me what or who is most important is not always the thing most immediate or the person in closest proximity. I believe life requires a balance between not only the here and now, but the past and the future. Our circle of awareness needs to encompass more than just the immediate situation for the ethics to work out correctly. That's what I think. What do you think?
Well, Harry worried that nobody would speak. My concern was, well, what if Harry and I say the same thing? I didn't have to worry about that either. John said something earlier that resonated with my thoughts that had come up over this story. And that was when I first heard it, what I thought of was when my mother was fighting cancer, there came a time when we realized that she was going to lose the fight. And it was at a time in my life when I had young children, I was very busy taking care of my family. I worked, I did volunteer work. I knew that the time was coming where I really needed to let go of all those things and think about my mother and focus exclusively on her. And I thought I had more time than I did. And what happened was she took a trip to Florida to see her sisters because she knew that her time was getting short. And she took a dramatic turn for the worse when she was down there. And she ended up spending the last couple months of her life down there. And I was only able to see her a couple times. So what I learned from that was that you know who the most important person is at the time in your life. And you need to make room and time for that person, whatever the cost of that. So that when my grandmother reached that time in her life, and then when my dad reached that time, I knew enough at that point that okay, it's time to let everything else go and focus as much as I can on each of these people as it was their time. So that's what I thought of when I was hearing this story, that it's very important to focus on who you know is the right person who needs your time and energy at the time.
Well, similar to what Laurie said, the same thoughts have come to my mind when I first heard this story was I immediately tried to think of things that where, you know, I was asked to, you know, show up, so to speak. And when my parents were both failing, I was fortunate enough to not be too far away. And also fortunate enough to be at a time in my life where I wanted to show up, because there was a time in my life where I wasn't there, where I'm not very good with sickness and illness, and I just don't want to be around it. But for some reason, the strength came in, and I was able to be there. And I'm really grateful for that. You know, I'm really grateful that I had those times with them, you know, to sit and listen and talk and ask questions, you know, before they passed. But what came to mind after that was, what about the everyday? What about non-critical situations? You know, you're driving down the street or you're on the highway and somebody wants to get in front of you. You know, do you slow down and let them in? You know, or do you quickly hurry up so that you can be first in line? You know, in the supermarket, someone's behind you with two items. Do you let them go in front of you? You know, things like this came to mind for me because this is something I've been trying to work on, is to be present for the moment. Like Nikolai, you know, how can I be a good person in this world? What is my purpose here? This really raised a lot of, you know, very basic fundamental questions for me. You know, my everyday is, you know, a lot of you know my husband's been away for a long time working in California. You know, it's not easy to show up at night when he calls. You know, he wants my full attention. He's lonely there, you know, by himself. And it's not easy for me to be on the phone, but I make great efforts to, turn everything off in my mind so that I can just be listening to him and to show up to him. I'm not perfect at it, believe me. There are times I said, I really can't talk to you right now. You know? This is, it's true.
true, you know? The same thing for my daughter, you know? We're together all the time now. I'm the fundamental caretaker now. So it's not that easy for me to show up every moment of every little crisis, like how my hair is awful, you know? I can't find my shoes, you know? And I want to say, you know, leave me alone, you know? And I have. But this story reminded me of how critical those little things can be. You never know when you're going to be the difference in someone's life. You just don't know. I had that opportunity. I work in a retail store, and I had a customer come in. She was very difficult person. You know, wanted my full attention, even though the store was full of people, for a very small item. But I gave her all the attention she needed. I spent the time with her. I sat with her and helped her go over some design ideas. I mean, I just took that time. And later, when she left, I said, "Oh, phew," you know. But a few weeks later, that woman came back, you know, and she talked to me and told me how her mother was dying and how she was going through such a hard time and really thanked me for the time I spent with her. I didn't know that, you know, and I could have been curt with her. I could have, you know, she said, "I don't have the time, you know, blah, 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 come back another time." I could have said a lot of different things, but I didn't. So, you know, I'm trying my best at this point in my life is to open that door for somebody. You know, stand aside if somebody needs to go before me, you know? Really try to think about my behavior, especially with strangers, and most importantly, with my husband and my daughter, who were the main people in my life today. You know, to try to say, "Okay, Zoe, let me help you with your hair." You know, "Okay, I'll help you find your shoes." You know? You know, it doesn't matter how I feel, it just matters who I am in the situation. So I love the ending of this story. I won't repeat it because Harry did that beautifully, you know, but I will say, you know, for these, my dear friends, are the answers to what is most important in this world. This is why we are here.
Thank you, Anya, Laurie, and Harry, for your reflections. Do any of you have any reflections that you would like to share with us? Yes.
I wasn't coming up with real answers as I was listening. I was kind of listening, hoping for the answers. But I was very, very comforted as someone who has a hard time knowing what to do and making decisions with that response that we can rely on the past. And it just occurs to me right now that that's what we're doing here today.
Anyone else?
So I guess I tend to move to meta questions pretty often, but I think fundamentally for me the question of the story is not these, but the question of how do I find the answers to these questions? Do I look for a turtle or not? And I guess for me there one certainly talks to turtles and to herons and to dogs and to monkeys, but that fundamentally it's an ongoing search for the answers. It's what matters to me, and I think probably to all of us. And it's not so much that you say, "Yes, I found an answer," it's that I'm looking
for answers. We'll go on looking for a long time. Thank you. I have found I have to be open to new things.
Very good. Anyone else?